I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We bring in the Texans general manager, Nick Caserio, joining us here on day two of Texans training camp. Nick, it's great to see you.
Good morning. Not sure who came up with that moniker, but yeah, we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, we should point out that it's not the team. It's not like the team putting out PR statements or anything.
No.
It's alliteration.
Yeah. If your last name began with any other letter, it would be called something else.
Honestly, I think when they were having the discussions about that, the big thing is that, okay, one of the most notable things about the Texans so far, aside from all the other stuff that we'll get to, is just the sheer volume of transactions. There have been so many transactions,
yeah.
It's been kind of a blur.
Yeah. And we appreciate the shout-out yesterday, too, by the way.
I know. I created more work for you guys.
That's all right.
You got enough to talk about between the draft and the Astros and everything else, but
yep.
Happy to talk some football.
Well, good, man. Well, we appreciate you sitting down with us. Let's start with the most recent news with the Randall Cobb trade yesterday. We've been kind of breaking it down this morning, and there's obviously, you know, several things that you guys benefit from. What was the main thing that you felt was best for you guys doing that deal?
Yeah, it's a good question. Again, with any sort of trade, there's always a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of information that goes into it. So, again, as we from the beginning to where we are now, each individual transaction, we just try to go through, think it through, and just figure out what makes the most sense for us from an organizational standpoint. I would say, you know, relative to Randall, I personally have a lot of respect for him. Matter of fact, I actually worked him out coming out of Kentucky, you know, on campus. So, I mean, had a good relationship, you know, going back a long ways. And he's, you know, he's been a good player in this league. He's a great person. He's a good teammate. You know, again, it's always hard when you have players like that, you know, on your team. And you just try to go through the information and just try to figure out what makes sense. And then relative to a trade, how it gets consummated, you know, you have to have a corresponding party, and if there's an interest, and then again, make a decision, hey, you know what, we're going to do this, here's why, and then make the decision, and ultimately just have to move forward. And that's, you know, what we're going to try to do.
Now, several days beforehand, you had traded for Anthony Miller, promising young slot receiver out of Chicago. Were you aware of the possibility of a Randall Cobb trade at that point? Was that all related?
It's a good question. I would say not necessarily. So, again, I think each transaction is kind of independent of itself. It's kind of an independent entity. So, again, it might look like on the surface that there was, you know, rationale behind it to some degree, and that was the reason we did it. Again, that's not necessarily the case. So, again, however a player gets on the team, let's get them on the team. And then let's look where we are, assess the information. And then, it's day-to-day. Things are, I would say, this league, and as you know this, it's constantly changing and evolving, so you can't get too bogged down. Again, make a decision. Here's what we're going to do, and then move forward.
How particularly beneficial is it for you guys that we're back to a normal training camp? Given, I mean, you and Coach Culley both pointed out a few times yesterday how many new faces that you guys have, that now you're back to having some preseason games where you can evaluate these guys. How important is that for the Texans in particular to have it back to a normal preseason again?
Sure, it's a good question. Training camp in and of itself, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's an evaluation period for your team because you really have to assess what do you really have. Because OTAs, you can kind of get a barometer or a baseline like of, all right, here's where we think this player is. But again, the spring, you have some limitations. And again, you play football and pads and helmets and all that. So we'll be able to assess that more once we get into the training camp setting. And with a number of new players who haven't played in our system and been here, this is where the evaluation comes in. And again, it's a day-to-day evaluation. It's not going to be about what a guy does on one particular day. I would just say this, Seth, you know this, like anybody can make a play on a day and look good and, hey, this guy had a good day, this guy had a bad day. But the key is, can they stack them up repetitively over the course of X number of weeks? Because that's what the season is. You're looking for consistency day-to-day, week-to-week, understanding that opponents are going to change, there's different dynamics that are involved. So this is our chance in a kind of 3 to 4 week period to see what we have. And again, talked a little bit about this yesterday as well. It's 53 players, but it's really 70. So you know, you have to go from 89, 90, wherever we are, to 53 to get the roster set. But then with the increase in practice squads, let's assume, I think it's going to be 16 players. So we're going to have 68, 70 players in the building. And quite frankly, at any point, any of those players could be on the field on a Sunday ready to play. So, again, you boil it down, it's, you know, we're going to have more than 53 players in our building, yeah. And we just want to make sure we have the right 53 on the roster. And some of this is going to be, how do we get who where, what makes the most sense? And some of that is a little bit later in training camp once you go through the cutdown.
Look, I know you guys are being very careful in how you answer any questions about Deshaun in that situation. But you got to acknowledge this is an atypical situation right here we have in training camp. Like this has got to be one of the weirder situations you've had in a camp in your last 20 years in the NFL.
I'd say I've seen a lot in 20 some odd years.
If you can get out of this by telling us a story about New England. I won't ask you another Deshaun question as long as you give me like dish on New England. What about that SI story from a few years ago?
I don't think I'm going to do that. But again, I'd say, quite frankly, Seth, and being truthful, nothing really surprises me in the NFL. I think that's the one thing I've learned. You kind of have to expect anything and just be prepared to act accordingly and respond accordingly and just ultimately just try to make good decisions and do the right thing at the present time. I think that's the most important thing for us to do.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. How would you say Tyrod Taylor's been handling the totality of the situation right now?
Yeah, I would say generally speaking, our players have done a good job of just handling the things that they can control and focusing on their performance, because ultimately what they do on the field, how they play, what they do, how they learn the system, how they absorb the information, that's going to be more important for them than anything else. And I think it's important, and our players, again, I think have done a really good job of understanding that and just trying to focus on the things that they can control.
How is the offense with Tim Kelly remaining here, you know, but with Pep Hamilton and other experienced coaches coming in? Has there been a lot of change in terminology? How do you massage all that and work that into the offense?
It's a good question. You try to, I'd say year to year, you're making changes and modifications to your system, regardless of who's back, what new coaches you have, what you have in place. So, again, there's a lot of smart teams, a lot of smart coaches out there. During the offseason, everybody's evaluating what you're doing, ourselves included. So if there's an adjustment we can make to a blocking scheme or bring some things from a run game standpoint, maybe make something look similar or look different than maybe what it was previously, again, we'll introduce that or talk about that. But ultimately, we just got to figure out, like, what do we do well? And again, at this point, we don't really know that, and we'll get more information here as we go, because again, some of this is going to be personnel driven, you know, based on your groups, who can do what, you know what, maybe this guy can hit in this role a little bit better. So again, we're going to find more about that, those types of things, but as we go. But relative to like Pep and Tim, this is the first time they've worked together. I think they're working well together. Communication's good, and there might be some ideas that Pep has. Hey, you know, what do you think about this? Same thing with James Campen. I think that's the one thing about our staff offensively. They're able to communicate effectively, which, you know, regardless of the scheme and the play and what you're doing, that's the most important thing.
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, you have a lot of guys here on short-term contracts. We know that. Do you have a specific goal in mind, I guess maybe beyond 2021, in terms of the number of guys that you brought in here on a short term that might eventually become guys that you can see as foundational as I guess you can get in the NFL, as much turnover as there is? Did you have specific numbers in mind when you entered this offseason?
It's a good question. I would say not necessarily. Again, each year you're going to bring players onto the roster. I mean, that's just natural course of action. And then once they're here, then you're looking at everything in totality, right? It's their performance on the field. It's their attitude. It's their effort. It's their consistency day to day. You know, how do they handle coaching? What do they do in the weight room? How do they work with their teammates? Again, so it's not one thing. I think we get caught up in, well, it's just about the player on the field, this and that. But there's so much more that goes into it. And we have to learn that as we go. Again, I mean, look, it's just no mystery. Like, we have a lot of new faces and we have a lot of new players. And we have to do a good job of assessing the information properly so we can make those decisions, Sean, when the time is appropriate.
Nick, just one quick follow-up. Just in thinking about that, with previous general managers here, there was a staunch rule about we're not going to do contracts during the regular season. When the regular season rolls around, that's it. And and I know those philosophies vary around the league. You haven't had a regular season as a general manager yet. Are you someone that would look at doing deals during the season, or do you have a rule in mind about that?
I would say for us and organizationally, for me personally, maintaining flexibility. Again, you don't really want to pigeonhole anything. Again, part of that is if you're doing something with a player, how does that affect the individual player and their mindset? You know, some people have no issues with that. Some people are not comfortable with that. So, again, there's a little bit of give and take, but I think maintaining flexibility is important and not being so pigeonholed by, well, we're only going to do this. Because then you start to set hard and fast rules, and then things change, and then it's, wait a minute, I thought, you know, being open-minded and having flexibility, but also being smart about it, I think, is how we'll try to approach it.
When there's an ongoing investigation of one of your players, do you get any guidance or instruction from the league? Are you having to check into the league on any of this?
It's a good question, Seth. I would say we obtain information along the way. I think the NFL has done a great job. We've cooperated with everybody involved, cooperated with the league. They've cooperated with us. And, you know, I think the communication between ourselves and the league has been good. So, again, we can only go off of what we have. We can't just start to speculate and, you know, what about this, what about that. Do you have to start to make some contingency plans at some point? Possibly. But, again, the NFL has done a good job, I would say, generally speaking, you know, communicating with clubs as information is relevant.
Well, and you're, you know, I've watched you at the Sloan Conference, and I know you're an analyst. We've talked a little bit about analytics. You know, and a lot of analytics is going back and looking at previous situations and trying to figure out how you can predict the current situation. With the current situation with Deshaun Watson and everything surrounding it, there really isn't a lot you can go back to look, right? I mean, these are one of the says the world is falling apart.
Fall.
On top
yeah,
of
it's just a yeah. Fan. It's just a fan.
All is well.
Is there? I mean, you don't really have a lot of precedent to guide you. This is a pretty unique situation.
Again, each case treated as its own entity, and you try to take the information as it comes and just try to process it. Again, you don't want to start to get in a bunch of comparisons about this is similar to this, this is similar to that. Again, we can't make it up. That's all we can do is live in the present, live in real time, and just take the information, try to process it, and just try to make good decisions along the way.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us on Sports Radio 610. I guess just philosophically, or maybe just looking at the league from another standpoint, Nick, we see more and more star players wanting to have input. Aaron Rodgers had a press conference yesterday where he went on a long diatribe about input that he had hoped to have. And the comparison is people are looking at and going, boy, the NFL is becoming a lot more like the NBA nowadays. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say sports, generally speaking, just this is my belief, sports is still a people business, right? So it's about communication. It's about relationships. And there's going to be a certain level of give and take. But I think each party has to be respectful of the opposite side, and as long as you have a open line of communication, again, there's going to be some things from a club standpoint a player not agree with. I mean, that's okay. There might be some things from a club standpoint that you don't necessarily agree with from a player standpoint. So, again, I think it's just trying to be open, trying to be honest, trying to be transparent and authentic with the communication, understanding that there might be times we can agree to disagree. Again, be disciplined, you know, have some parameters, but, you know, maybe it's not about being hard and fast rules and, you know, you really don't want to make it into any sort of confrontation. I mean, look, business, and I would say football is a business, right? It's business is hard. So, again, there's going to be some tough situations that everybody's going to have to deal with, but if you can handle it in a respectful manner, I don't want to speak for a player, but I think they appreciate that, even if you maybe have a disagreement about a contract or whatever it may be. But as long as you're consistent and honest with your communication, again, I personally believe that's the best way to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Before we get you out of here, I know players often talk about their welcome to the NFL moment as a player. You know, now I realize, have you had a welcome to being a GM moment so far, being a general manager of a team?
It's like 24 hours into it.
I was going to say probably the day I took over.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Again, I mean, I'd say just from the beginning, it's been an exciting experience.
Yeah.
And again, I think your expectations are you don't really have any expectations other than you're excited for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you just want to try to do the best job you can for everybody involved. So I think that's how I've tried to handle it.
Have you had a welcome to being a Houstonian moment?
I mean, other than getting blown up on a barbecue comment. That was more self-induced more than
have you tried else. Some barbecue around town yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty disappointed.
He's
again,
pretty,
I don't want to...
There are lean meats.
...read another contest, but I suppose if we found the best barbecue in Houston and said, okay, I'm going to eat a bucket of ribs for X number of dollars.
I want to see you try to pick the fat out of a brisket.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm pretty strict and disciplined with my approach on a day-to-day basis.
What's your workout schedule?
You eat the same thing every day, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty consistent. I'm pretty regimented, pretty disciplined. I would say I'm a kind of a 5 to 6 day a week guy between full body, Peloton. We have the VersaClimber in our weight room, which I love. I don't know if I can say this on the air. It's a pain in the ass for a lot of people, but I love it. So I enjoy working out. Quite frankly, it's a great just sort of release. Just let your mind kind of have 30 to 45 minutes to unwind. And I'm a big believer in just sound mind, sound body principles, and I've tried to instill that into my life. And again, everybody has to find what works for them. And again, that's kind of how I just try to approach it.
That was one of the biggest things for me when I was done playing football, where you have to make that transition into like understanding that like people actually exercise for enjoyment, you know, and that it actually like the mental like what I noticed is when I stopped exercising, my mental abilities and like mental health just fell apart.
Yeah.
So just for your own, like literally for your sanity.
Well, I think that you're making a great point, because I'd say even present time, like the whole health, mental health and wellness is relevant. And I think, you know, not to comment on what's going on with Simone, but I think, you know, there's been a lot of commentary about that. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for people and athletes that can do that and feel comfortable about their situation and say, you know what, this is where I'm at, and we need to support them. And it's okay to say, you know what, I mean, this is hard. I mean, look, being an athlete, there's a lot of pressure that goes into it, and there's expectations. And to be able to understand, like, you're a human being first and foremost, and understand you need to take care of yourself, because if you can take care of yourself, then it's going to be a lot easier to apply your craft, whatever you're doing on the field. So I would just say, relative to her situation, tremendous amount of admiration and respect for what she is, an athlete, but even as a person, to be able to come forward like that and acknowledge that, I think that says a lot.
Really important for NFL teams, I'd imagine, to have resources for that type of stuff as well for guys, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have those in place, and we let the players know that this is here for you if you need it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like all of us at some point may need that, and it's okay. I mean, that's why we have those people in place. So, again, not to go off on a big discussion about mental health, but I think it's important for all of us to not lose sight of that.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Nick, we know you're super busy. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes to sit down with us, and I certainly look forward to doing it again with you. Looking forward to practice out here in day two and getting going with some more football.
See if you can get Cully to shorten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That was long out there. I was impressed that actually everybody kept their focus. Like it was. Has the heat been a shock to you at all? I mean, yeah, I'm even out here working out and everything.
It's definitely warmer, but again, I mean, I think throughout the country, humidity is humidity. I mean, everybody says Texas heat's a little bit different. So you just have to, your body sort of has to adjust to the environment.
I played in Jacksonville for 5 years. And when I came here in the expansion draft, everybody kept asking me, like, oh, hey, you ready for this heat? And I'm like, Jacksonville's the same latitude.
Yeah.
And then I got into about day three of training camp here, and I was thinking about retiring. And
we know it's not Ithaca, New York.
Yeah. So the headline out of this interview is basically going to be Texans general manager Caserio, Houston humidity, no big deal.
Yeah.
That's what I just heard. And that might get everybody worked up.
I'm sure
else.
It will.
That and barbecue, apparently.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate it, man.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate
all
you
right,
guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks
appreciate
so much.
You.
Yep.
All right, that's Texans general manager Nick Caserio joining us here on Sports Radio 610 live out at Camp Caserio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.